just in the nick of time. What does that make us? Big damn heroes, sir.
Ain't we just?
Balls. We want the finest wines available to humanity. We want them here, and we want them now.
You know what they say about love and war?
Yeah, one involves a lot of physical and psychological pain, and the other one's war.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, a film and TV radio show where a handful of film enthusiasts shoot the breeze about all things film and television related. My name is Marcus E. Acko, and my worst Valentine's Day movie is Three Kings, which is, that's a weird story. But before, I'll come to that in a few minutes. Things are a little chaotic at the moment. We've got Facebook Live going on there at the moment. We've got, everyone with, can we all see? Can we all, it's good. Those of you that can see, that's not Laura. Obviously, she's not in today. She's got another appointment that's more important than this. So she's decided to go for that. Good luck, Laura. What have you done? In the studio with us, we're going to start with my left. Please tell us your name and your example for worst Valentine's Day movie.
Hi, I'm Mark Brown, and my worst Valentine's Day movie is one that I actually did take my fiance on a date to at a lovely hotel, three meals, which was The Killer Inside Me.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll come to that in a second. Also with us in the studio, please tell us your name and what your... If you have a worst Valentine's Day movie, then Killer Inside Me.
I'm Matt Prendergast, and I don't really have a worst Valentine's. Certainly nothing worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
mainly because I don't ever date in cinemas.
Okay.
Call me selfish, but I just switch off. I just watch a film, and I don't speak.
Well, fair enough. They're sacred.
Which is actually why some people take a date to the cinema, I think. If it's going badly, get yourself in the cinema so you don't have to talk to him.
That's true. I see. Okay, we had this conversation earlier, and I am the complete opposite. The formula for the ideal date for me is dinner, movie, and whatever happens afterwards. But I don't know why. I guess because I want to enjoy the movie. I do talk as well when I'm in cinema, but I know you're not supposed to.
So why is Three Kings your worst?
Okay, Three Kings is my worst mainly because it was an incident that happened while I was at university. It was Valentine's Day. I was I just started this new relationship with this girl, and I love the movie Three Kings, right? So I figured I'll invite her back to my dorm room. We sat down, had a couple of drinks, and I figured, oh, there's this movie you might not have seen it. It's called Three Kings. It's got George Clooney in it, right? I'm thinking George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube as well, and it's action. It's men doing manly things. So I figured she'd get into it. Five minutes into the movie, she bursts into tears. It turns out, and I was very insensitive at this point to not have figured that out, she is from Iraq. And so if you don't know the movie Three Kings, it's basically about the first Gulf War, 1991-ish, when the American soldiers were there, basically killing Iraqi civilians. And I kind of, the penny dropped halfway through her in tears, and she explained that basically reminded her of all the stuff that had happened to her family and whatnot. So, it's safe to say we didn't finish the movie.
It makes it worse that it's kind of a comedy as well.
Yeah.
It's a good film. It's about, how stupid the Americans are.
Well, yes, which is the reason why I thought she would enjoy it. But obviously, in hindsight being 2020 and all, that's basically how that went. But you went to see The Killer Inside Me. Now, yeah. Why?
It was a choice of two. We had the Covent Garden Hotel. It'd be like a swanky meal. It was like £35 for three courses and a film. And the choice was... The Killer Inside Me,
yeah.
Or Sex in the City 2.
Oh, there's no contest.
And yeah, no, good choice.
Both me and my then girlfriend, who's now my fiance, so it went well. It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, chose The Killer Inside Me rather than the abomination that is Sex and the City 2.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I'll let that slide. That's yours. Yours is not as bad as I originally thought. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM.
I'm Marcus E. Acko. In the studio with us, we have Mark A.C. Brown, director of Guardians, and we have Matt Prendergast, the lead actor in the movie Guardians. We're Facebook stream, well, live streaming this particular episode, and this time I'm hoping we've got both audio and visual going on, because last time we did this, we had visual, which was great. People could watch us, but no one could hear us. If you can hear us, you can watch us and whatnot. Just send us messages on Facebook or on Twitter. Our Facebook handle is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. Our Twitter handle is at STB underscore Resonance FM. Okay, we are having some other technical difficulties, but we're not going to worry about that. Oh, we're good to go? All right, so we're going to move on to our next segment, which is film and TV news. Just imagine. Oh, there we go. Okay, so just before we move on to the thing, Matt, you did the jingle for one of the short films.
Yeah, Mark just covered the back end of it there, that little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt does a good mouth trumpet thing, so we made him do the.
That sounds much worse.
The theme tune to our short film Beard.
Oh, so I'm going to come to a long list of your filmography and all the work that you're going to be doing, or you've done, and what you're going to be doing in the future. But let's talk about the news. We want to talk about BAFTA nominations. We're in award season, so we've gone through Oscar nominations, we've gone through Golden Globes, and we did Writers Guild and so on. Now we're in BAFTA, which is, if you don't know what BAFTA is, it's British Academy of Film and TV Awards. It's British Academy Film and TV Awards, BAFTA. In, 71st award ceremony, which is going to be this Sunday. Now, the same names pretty much are going to be mentioned in these categories. So, like, Best Film, we have Call Me By Your Name, which we've talked about constantly, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards, which are pretty much the standout performers. They've pretty much been they've popped up in Golden Globes and Oscars, etc. The BAFTAs have other categories, however, that I want to sort of talk about to find out if any of you have actually if you've watched these movies. Please send us messages about them, and I'll ask our guests as well if you've seen them. Best Outstanding British Film. So we got Darkest Hour. Any of you seen that yet?
No, sadly not. Okay. I'm going to be embarrassing in this list.
No, not a problem. Not a problem at all. Paddington 2.
I haven't seen any of these nominations.
You haven't seen any of these nominations?
My fiancé and daughter have seen it, and they thought it was amazing.
I've seen it, and I went in not expecting anything, and I loved that movie.
The first one's great.
Yeah, I haven't seen the first one.
The first one's great.
Okay.
I heard a lot of people say the second is better.
I've heard that as well.
It's
rare
for a sequel.
Yeah, Hugh Grant is phenomenal in
some
it.
Some of his finest work I've read.
Yep. He's obviously going to get more work from this. Then we have God's Own Country, which I only heard about today, which is shame on me, really.
Around.
I know. Shame on me. Lady Macbeth, Three Billboards, and The Death of Stalin. Now, I've seen three out of that in that list. I'm not really going to choose anyone in particular that I think is going to win, although I really like Death of Stalin. I really, really liked Three Billboards. I think it's amazing. Martin McDonagh.
He's great.
Yeah. If you don't know his work, he did In Bruges, Seven Psychopaths, and now this one. He's got a brother, right?
Yeah. John Michael McDonagh.
Yes, and the only film I can think of that he did was The Guard.
He did The Guard, then he did Calvary with Brendan Gleeson also. And
yes.
Then he did...
Well, he was the priest. Yeah, okay.
Is it War and Everyone?
Oh, yes, yes. That's why I couldn't remember him.
Calvary's the best. Calvary, I think, is the best of all the films between the two brothers. I think it's just phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
I mean, In Bruges is... amazing.
See three billboards, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen that one yet.
Another category that BAFTAs are doing that others aren't doing is the obviously the Rising Star Award, which basically this year has Timothy Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name, Florence Pugh from Lady Macbeth, Tessa Thompson from Creed.
Thor.
Yep, exactly, from Thor. Josh O'Connor from Peaky Blinders and God's Own Country, and Daniel Kaluuya. Now, who do you think in that list is going to pick that award?
It's strange because, like you say, best newcomer or whatever.
Rising star.
Because, I mean, yeah. Daniel Kaluuya has been around for ages, done like stuff.
Tessa Thompson's been around for
considerably higher than most.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hardy won it as well, didn't he? So, not so long ago.
I think purely because of his Oscar nomination.
I would say Kaluuya or Florence Pugh. She was winning loads of newcomer awards for the last year or so. But if I had to put money on, I'd put Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, I mean I agree because A, you've got an Oscar nomination as you mentioned. Get Out broke box office records last year, and now he's in Black Panther, which is also broken box office records. So I think that probably
and he's good in that too.
Making all the right choices.
That's true. Yes,
and he was in Psychoville. So
He was in what? Sorry,
Psychoville.
Tea Leaf.
Psychoville.
The guys that did League of Gentlemen inside number 9.
Yes.
TV series in between that.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so you're right. He's making all the right moves. I first saw him in Black Mirror. Black Mirror? Yes, Black Mirror. And then saw some other stuff. There was the other one, something close to that. He's excellent. He's been making loads of good choices.
And
then all the others, and Skins. I couldn't remember from Skins, and then I saw an article that said he listed all the people who are now famous that were from Skins, and he was like, "Well,
it's like the new Hollyoaks."
Yeah. I read a similar article, which was praising the casting directors of Skins actually for finding all these famous, well, soon to be famous actors, these very talented people, claiming there was very little credit for the casting directors, which I think is a fair point.
Yeah. Okay, because you look at Skins and you look at Hollyoaks, see the successes. Yeah.
Quite a lot of them have become global superstars.
That is true. I mean, you've got at least two Oscar-nominated actors in that group. You've got at least two that went to do Game of Thrones, and then move on to
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Who's from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Is it Kaya Scodelaria?
Oh yes. Well, the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nicholas Holt. He's done all right for himself.
Yeah, true. I mean, he was kind of well known before Skins, but I mean, he did about a boy.
He was a kid, and then he became
child
a teenager.
Actor, Skins, he became.
But it's the same as what's her name as well? The girl from.
A teen.
The Golden Compass. She went to Skins.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, true.
Dakota Blue Fanning. Dakota Blue Fanning. Dakota Blue Richards. Fanning.
Yeah, Fanning
You've
is the American.
Wrong Dakota Blue, you idiot.
No, there's only one Dakota Blue. It's Dakota Fanning and Dakota Blue Richards. Sorry, Dakotas.
I'm sure she doesn't listen to this, so you're fine. She might do. Who knows? If you do, just tweet us. We're at STB_ResonanceFM on Twitter, and on Facebook is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, where we're currently live streaming. Say hi to us at some point. Okay, so that's basically that's the news. I want to move from news because we've got the both of you. You've taken the time to come and talk to us. I want to talk to you about the movie that you've done called Guardians, which I had the pleasure of watching, and I really enjoyed the movie. The dialogue is... In fact, let's put my thoughts aside for 1 second. I'd like to get you to talk about the movie. Tell us, what is Guardians about? Mark, let's go with you.
Oh, dear. Guardians is about two guys that don't know each other, thrown together in this 200-year-old townhouse in the East End of London as live-in guardians. I don't know if you know what the Guardian scheme is, but it's basically low-rent security, so squatters can't get in.
Okay.
And there's more to this house than meets the eye, really. There's talk of curses, the talk of ghosts, there's talk of all sorts, but ultimately it's all just a bit of a farcical comedy in the end.
And Matt, who do you play in this?
I play Carlson, a man who's recently been dumped and is coming to terms with his life and looking for a fresh start and doesn't want to lay out any rent, and he wants to save a bit of cash, so he enters into the Guardian scheme, and it all starts from that point, really.
And it's mainly, it's not a two-hander, but the two main leads are yourself and Lavender, the character.
David Whitney plays Lavender, who already lives in the house.
Okay.
So he and I are trapped in this old townhouse, rattling around in it, and then we meet a few people who sort of interact with us, knock at the door or break in.
And the movie's 90% the two of you. So, the character, he's hilarious. Don't get me wrong, he's hilarious, but could be irritating as hell.
Well, this is London life. Again, I think that's what the film is about. It's a comment on, how difficult life in London can be, but you just get used to it. You forget how awful it is, and you suddenly stop and look around and think,
why am I putting myself through this? Why how much live of that with
was
this guy?
How much
this,
of that was real acting, though, compared to the characters in him, the character and him? How much of that was that? Well, yeah,
there's a bit where he's working out with a martini in his hand. That's very much him.
That's very much David's man. I mean,
the rest is all the writing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, all the parts pretty much. So 80% of the parts were written for the actors that played them.
Sure.
Because we've known each other for a very long time. Yeah, like me and Matt and David, like, we're working together for 15 years.
Okay.
So it was easy to write for David and Matt, and it was, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lavender in Whitney.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say how much in which bits, but...
sure, yeah. I mean, like I started off, I really enjoyed the movie, and I'm not alone in enjoying the movie. Green Blast Film Festival, you picked up 3 separate awards with this. You won Best Screenwriter, Best Ensemble Cast, and Best Supporting Actor for Victoria Johnston.
Yes.
Who has a relation to you, is related to you in some way.
She is the fiancé that went and saw Killer Inside Me.
So you picked up those awards, and you told me just before the show you're circulating the movie in other film festivals as well.
Yeah, we've got a few. It's going to be pretty much, I'll be doing festivals for the next year, I reckon. So the first few that we've got though are, yeah, so the Genre Blast one in, that was our premiere in America. We've just got a couple more in America. One in New York and one in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And then a few more local ones. We've got the Ramsgate Film Festival, which is Brenda Blethyn's film festival. And what's the other one's on? Newcastle.
She's on the jury. She doesn't, I don't think she runs it.
She doesn't run it, but she's on the jury. She's the patron.
She runs it and she's on the jury. So yeah.
It's her little thing.
She has a common, she's just, that's where she's just sitting on the, in the, in the, that's it. That's, it's just her house. She just basically brings movies up. Everyone comes in, sits around.
We're in the running for Ramsgate, aren't we?
Okay.
It's, she judges the first features. And so we are a first feature.
That's going to be one of my top 5 claims to fame when she watches Guardians, that she's seen my bum.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
And more.
So what inspired the movie?
As a thematically or just as to make it?
Because you wrote it, you're the writer-director of The Guardian, not The Guardians. I kept saying, every time I was publicizing, I was saying The Guardians and
Don't Google
Guardians.
That. It's a weird Russian thing.
What, The Guardians?
Yeah, The Guardians.
Yeah, it's a Russian superhero film.
At the end of last year, almost at the same time as we brought Guardians out.
Yeah, it was a bit inconvenient.
It's a massive budget Russian superhero thing, which has been largely panned.
It's got a guy with a bear's
head. It looks spectacular.
It looks amazing. It looks proper crazy.
Is that the one that has a sequel that's coming out with Arnold Schwarzenegger, or is that a different Russian?
No.
I think that's a different Russian one. Okay, fair enough. We won't digress.
It's just Guardians.
Just Guardians. Okay.
In fact, let's all call it Just Guardians.
Just Guardians.
Just Guardians.
Okay, so what inspired Just Guardians?
Basically, it was the want to make a feature film, and... You know, I'd written feature films, some had been produced, some hadn't, but it's a frustrating business, and it's driving me crazy, and still does. And we'd worked on loads and loads of short films together, me, Matt and David, and some of the other cast.
And separately, we'd worked on feature films as well, and not so involved as Guardians, but we all came back together and chatted about our experiences, and, you know, you get chatting after a few beers, and you decide what you'd do differently maybe on a little project here and there. Yeah. And that all piled into the idea.
Yeah, and we just kind of came to the conclusion that we could probably cobble together enough money and favours to do it, really. Okay. And so
wouldn't do it worse than anything we've done.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd seen
lots of films of a similar budget or bigger budgets, and I thought, I can do better than that.
Sure.
Because it's just about getting a good DOP, getting a good cast and a decent script, you know. And so I thought, I can do the script. I know I can cast. And I got Suze, who's the DOP, and she'd shot a short film for me, which had done well at festivals.
Suzanne Smith, excellent.
Okay. She is. She's fantastic. And
and the house was the house that you set the movie in.
Well, that was the next stage of it. I thought, what shall I write then? And I thought, I'm going to write something pretty low-key. Mm-hmm. But plays to my strengths, which I've always been told it's my dialogue, and Matt and Whitney always did really good with my dialogue. So I thought, all right, what have I got, what can I use? And I thought, Victoria's got a massive house in the East End of London, and then the Guardian scheme thing came into my head. Ghost, and there's loads of ghosts in the East End, you know, there's all this weird history of the East End with like Jack the Ripper and the Krays, and then like the Limehouse where it's set, the original Chinatown. So I kind of just basically mashed together all this crazy history and invented this story and wrote just threw these two characters into it, mm-hmm. and just started dropping mad characters for them to play off.
Okay.
And the story just formed itself, really.
Yeah, the dialogue sizzles. I'll say that. I really enjoyed just sitting there and just listening to the two characters talk. So yourself and I keep forgetting his name. The one plays
it's
Lavender.
Called David Whitney. Calls him Whitney.
Yeah. Whitney. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say Whitney, but anyway. So the chemistry between Matt and Whitney, just it works. It's great. If people want to watch this movie, what do they need to do?
At the moment, it's just we're kind of taking it on a UK cinema tour. So our next screening is on Friday in Brighton at the Odeon in Brighton. Then March the 12th, we're in Crouch End, the Crouch End Picture House.
Yes,
local one because we all used to live in Crouch End. And okay, he still does.
Down the road from me. You can check out Twitter.
Going back,
Guardians BHF.
Yeah, and we've got a website, guardiansfilm.co.uk, and so that's got a list of the screenings, so all the festivals that we've got, and upcoming screenings will be Edinburgh, Glasgow as well, and I think there's one in Brick Lane, but that's not confirmed yet, but we've got a film club that's going to...
That's good. Just send us all of those details, and we'll put that on the Facebook page, and we'll put that on Twitter. We'll push that out to as many people as we can. So
Basingstoke. See that. Basingstoke in June.
Okay, in June. Okay. And then you've also got... Cannes coming up as well.
We have, I tend to go to Cannes quite a lot. Cause it's just nice and lovely and sunny, and
it's free beers.
Free beers.
Fair enough.
So yeah, we'll be taking Guardians there again. We took it there last year, and to talk to sales agents, all that kind of thing.
We hadn't quite finished last year.
Yeah, we had a bit of a time of it, getting it finished because of various depressing sort of situations that we won't go into on the radio. But ultimately, because we didn't finish it till August of last year, so Cannes was May last year, so we had a 75% completed cut of it, and took it around. Got a good reaction. Mm-hmm. We got a few offers and stuff of distribution, and I'm just gonna wait.
Okay, fair enough. So now you've polished it up. You're taking it back to say this is what we've done.
Yeah, exactly. Taking it back to consolidate some of those relationships and make new ones and see what's out there. We've got, like I say, we've got a few offers on the table now that we can use or just take them.
That's good. That's
we'll
good.
Wait and see.
Like I said, we're going to be putting all the dates for and all the locations as well for where people can go and find it at @STB_ResonanceFM on Twitter, and on Facebook is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. So we're going to post that as well. This is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I am Marcus E. Acko in the studio. We've got Mark A.C. Brown and Matt Prendergast, the director and actor of Guardians. Got that right. Excellent. What are you doing now after this? Not like right now, because right now you're on the radio show.
Pop.
We're going to meet a director after.
Okay. We are, yeah. My mate Brad, he's hopefully directing my next film.
Oh, good.
Which is a film that is called Cold Fell, but was originally called Cold Fall. Most people that know of that film will know it's Cold Fall. But then, James Bond. Okay. Skyfall ruined it for everyone.
Fair enough. So now you change it to Cold Fell.
Okay. So it's called Cold Fell now. Anyway, so that script won an award at the New Orleans Horror Film Festival last year, and it's been picked up by my mate James, who's a producer. He produced a film called My Feral Heart, which was pretty sizable independent release. It's kind of the record holder for the hour screen amount of screenings.
It sounds familiar, and I'll look into that. I think I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's winning a great fair whack of awards, and it's a good film. So he's come on board as producer, and Brad is a director who did a film called Hallows Eve, which you can get on Sky. You can get them both on Sky Store now, actually.
Okay.
Hallows Eve's a horror film, and
so they're working on that
project. Not. But Cold Fell is a kind of a horror film. It's a kind of siege thriller, straw dogs kind of.
Similarities to Guardians in that it's a bunch of people thrown into a building together. Except
but this time,
it's,
not funny.
It's out in the country. It's a much nicer setting.
Yeah, it's not quite as amusing.
Is it still going to be? It's not as amusing, but more
it's got
horrific.
A bit. It's got a bit of humor, but it's more. It's a drama really, and it's quite brutally violent as well.
Okay, Matt, what about yourself?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to do a bit of theatre later in the year.
Okay.
So soon we're going to meet together at the start of March, and we're going to start getting ideas for a theatre show together, Heart of Darkness.
Excellent.
Imitating the dog.
They'll enjoy that.
We're going to put that on Facebook as well. And Whitney isn't here with us, but if he's got any live shows that he's, because he's a stand-up comedian.
David's a stand-up comedian tonight. He is
Mike Shepherd also.
Mike Shepherd as well, who's in they're both stand-ups doing gigging all around London, around the country. Okay. David runs a night at the Backyard Comedy Club in Bethnal Green every Thursday.
Okay.
That's why he's playing tonight, actually.
That's good. We'll put that up on the Facebook page so that people can go and see it, so they can see what they look like in real life, and then go and watch Guardians in Brighton and Crouch End, etc. And Ramsgate, you said?
And,
yeah.
Newcastle. Ramsgate and lots of others.
Excellent. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko. Like I said in the studio, we have Mark A.C. Brown, director of Guardian, and Matt Prendergast, who's the lead actor in Guardian. We're going to play some music just to break things up while we do some snap picture stuff. The song we're playing is Keala Settle. This is me from The Greatest Showman. Come on, Dave. That's not it. It's so good.
It's playing.
If anyone... Oh, is it playing? Let me put it in my headphones.
Well, I don't know this one, so I can't...
Yes.
To be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, you say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a blood round of mind. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I make no apologies. This is me.
That was This Is Me, Keala Settle. It's up for Oscar Best Original Soundtrack, I guess. Best Original Song.
Best Original Song.
Best Original Song, yeah, from The Greatest Showman.
I was going to say Russell Crowe, but it's not Russell Crowe. It's the other guy.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, thank you. I don't know why. The other guy, yeah. The other good-looking... Anyway, I'll stop. This is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I am Marcus E. Acko. Unfortunately, Laura couldn't be with us here today. She sends her best wishes. But in the studio with us, we have Mark A.C. Brown, director of Guardians, and we have Matt Prendergast, also the lead actor in Guardians. Hello, guys.
Hello.
We'll move to the next segment, which is UK Box Office Top 5. Okay, so, top five, number five, Darkest Hour. You gentlemen have already said that you haven't seen that.
No.
We ran through the list and you hadn't seen any of the movies.
It's shocking. Shocking. I used to be three times a week at the cinema, and now having a couple of kids, it really kills that for you.
Yeah, you've had stuff that you've been doing, so it's understandable, I guess. So Darkest Hour is number five. We've talked about that quite a bit on the show. Number four, Early Man, which is the Odd Man
My daughter saw that yesterday.
Your daughter saw that yesterday?
Yeah.
What did she think?
She wasn't all that fussed.
Really?
She's only three.
Oh, fair enough.
My fiance and my fiance's mum, they didn't like it at all, sadly.
Really? I've heard really good things about it. And it's Aardman, isn't it?
Aardman
it's really nice to see them sort of back.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Okay.
What was the last thing they made?
They said it was about football quite a lot.
Pirates, I think, was the last
one. Yeah, Pirates, was it? Was it Shaun the Sheep? Shaun the Sheep film?
Yeah,
was that after Pirates? I don't know.
Was that after? Okay.
I don't know.
But they didn't like it.
And my daughter, I think, enjoyed it. But the adults did not. They said it was too much football in it. So I guess, I don't know, they just weren't football fans. So I should have gone and seen it.
Fair enough. But you're going to watch it and you'll be like, yeah, it's great with football, but it was Aardman. But you like Shaun the Sheep?
Yeah.
You like Walton Gromit?
I do. Yeah.
And
I like Timmy Time as well. That's
Timmy Time.
That's just a TV show that they do. Okay. And it's 3-year-olds.
Fair enough. My favorite,
like, is a serious filmmaker though.
My favorite of theirs is Chicken Run.
Chicken Run's great.
Yeah. That's number four. Not Chicken Run. Early Man's number four. Coco.
The Were-Rabbit.
My
daughter's seen Coco as well.
Coco. What did she think?
Her and my fiance both thought that was amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
My fiance came out of the cinema, and I was looking after our newborn, and she was just in tears.
Yeah.
She had like, it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I really enjoyed Coco. It reminded me of another movie that came out, another animated movie, Book of Life. I don't know if you've
seen that. Yeah, that's really good.
Kind of similar themes about death and being remembered.
Day of the Dead.
Yeah, Day of the Dead, exactly. So, it was what we talked about. That Greatest Showman, I still haven't seen that yet. We played the track from the soundtrack. Supposedly very, very good because it fell out of the top five and then came back in because of half term.
I don't know. I love Hugh Jackman. It doesn't look like my cup of tea so much. My sister didn't like it.
Oh, she didn't? Okay.
My family's been in the cinema a lot more than I have.
Sure. I think on the surface it looks like it might not do very well, but I think it will be surprisingly popular.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to last. It's going to be like Dirty Dancing for a generation or something, I think. But it's Zac Efron and Zendaya and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams, also a brilliant actress, but that's why I keep forgetting she's in it.
Fair enough, I guess. And then number one, 50 Shades Freed.
Boo. Is that number one?
That's number one.
Shocking. Yes. What is wrong
Shame
with you, British public?
Shame on the UK. Shame.
I haven't seen it.
It's the worst of the three as well, which is impressive.
That is exactly what I heard. That's the review. Someone close to me who went, watched it, came back, and I was like, so what do you think? And the response was basically, well, I didn't expect it to be a masterpiece, but it was bad because it was just bland. There were car chases and whatnot, but it was bland.
The script is written by the husband of the woman who wrote the book. Which sounds like...
But does that make it any better, though?
No, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just... He's clearly as good a writer as his wife is, I guess.
True. Either that, or he just didn't want to show up his wife. Because, can you imagine the one that he decides to
write? I'm going to make you look good, darling.
Exactly, right? The one that he writes, basically.
Only everyone had the same moral authority as Charlie Hunnam.
Well, do you think he... for those who don't know, Charlie Hunnam basically was originally supposed to be Christian Grey when he was originally cast at the very beginning, and he pulled out of the project.
Very wisely.
You think he pulled out because he looked at the script and thought this was terrible?
We'll never know.
Thing is,
he was double booked.
He went and
we'll
did King Arthur.
Yeah.
So it's not like he has amazing taste in scripts.
His excuse at the time was the fact that he was double booked with Sons of Anarchy, which was a great show.
But he would have known that.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for years. He would have known.
There was huge...
Schedules change.
There was huge backlash when it was announced that he was going to be Christian Grey. That basically, fans of the books say they did not... He was the hashtag not my Christian. And it was like maybe a week after that that all of a sudden he realized that he had a clash. And so he pulled out. So
it was... For the best. Well done, Charlie.
Well, for him. Anyway, so I haven't seen any of those movies, and
I tried to watch the first one.
Is this the second just, one or the third?
It's the third one.
Right. So they can stop now.
They have to. It's the third book, the last book, apparently. So.
Well, you say they can stop now. If this is number one, depending on how long this stays at number one, they might decide spin off. And all of a sudden, it'll be the Christian Grey, the kids. I don't know.
Well, oh my God, you can't make the kids of two weird sex people.
Well, they might fast forward it 16 years into the future and then say...
Fast forward it 1,000 years to the apocalypse. Let's not watch it.
I'm just saying, it's a cash cow, right? The trilogy, the box set, they'll fast forward. It's like Origins or what's the other, Vampire Diaries. They'll just basically fast forward it, have those kids come in.
I feel bad for Dakota Johnson because she always, like... In every review, and the reviews are the best thing about these films because they're always wonderfully written reviews about how bad these films are. And she always gets a good mention, though. She always says, like, she's trying hard and she's doing all right.
That's a positive review. We can see that you were trying your best, even though you knew that this was terrible. So, how does that work? To be honest, the only thing I would watch with 50 Shades of Grey is it's on YouTube and it's been there since before the first book ran, and it was 50 Shades. Audiobook by Gilbert Gottfried. Go and find it. I guarantee
Gilbert Gottfried's amazing.
It is fascinating. Done by College Humor. It is a fantastic 3 minutes. You watch it, and it's Gilbert Gottfried just basically reading clips from the book.
Oh, that is good. That is one of the good things that comes from something like 50 Shades.
Yeah.
I saw one, Charles 50 Dancer, Sheds Grey.
Okay.
Which I'd rather watch.
50 Sheds Grey.
Yeah, just a clip, like a slideshow of sheds.
Oh, nice!
I'd sit for an hour.
You'd rather watch that than any of the trilogy.
That would be my worst Valentine's Day. Sitting through three of those.
Would that be your worst though? Or I mean, look at it this way: if you get the option, like you had the option to see either
Sex and the City
or Sex and the City 2, if you get the option, right, you have to go and see one of these two movies on a Valentine's Day: 50 Sheds Grey or 50 Shades.
Sheds. Every time.
Okay.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko. In the studio with me, Mark A.C. Brown and Matt Prendergast from Guardians. We'll move to the meat of this show, which is top five favorites. Now, this show, one of the reasons why we had the show is basically so that a handful of friends and film enthusiasts would just sit down and just talk about their top five favorite stuff, both film and television. And today, we've got exactly that. So we're going to do our top five favorite film cameos. You're going to just say in random order. Yeah. Okay. Well, top five today's top five favorite film cameos. If you don't know what a cameo is basically a very brief appearance of someone in the movie that usually is so significant that it kind of does take you out of the movie a little bit, just to, your metaphysical level, you understand that, okay, this person is just making an appearance in the movie. So we're going to go through, I'm sure you all know what a cameo is. If you're listening to this show, you know what a cameo is. I just got told the other day that I can't just assume certain things in certain terms by this man over here, David. David's like, nobody knows what DOP means, so say what it is. But that's what a cameo is. A cameo is a special appearance by someone in a movie or television show. So we're going to go around the table. We'll talk about our top five. We'll start with number five and number four. So, Mark, what's your number five and what's your number four?
My number five, it's kind of an easy one, I guess, to people like me anyway, is Hugh Jackman in X-Men First Class.
Yes. Oh, I can't believe I didn't think of that. But yes, absolutely. One line. Not going to say what it is on the radio, but it is. No, that is awesome pick. Awesome pick. Okay, what's your number four?
My number four is the Dukes brothers in Coming to America. which is yes. Don Amici and Ralph Bellamy.
Ralph Bellamy, yes.
You play, kind of repeating their characters from Trading Places.
Yes, yes. We've talked on this show. We talk a lot about Trading Places and Coming to America. If you haven't watched, go and watch it. I personally think
John Landis classics.
You mentioned you like John Landis.
I love John Landis.
For me, two of Eddie Murphy's best films to date. It's like
Trading Places, I think, is all around his best film, in my opinion. I think it's a perfect comedy, and it's.
I agree. I'm saying I agree. I'd probably backtrack and say Coming to America. I prefer Coming to America.
Is probably more funny than Trading Places, but I don't think it's as good a film.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll keep arguing about that later on. I like that cameo because the thing is, with that particular cameo, you had to have watched Trading Places to get the joke.
It's true.
Yeah. If the option is that, or you have to watch 50 Shades Grey to be able to get what's happening in 50 Shades Free.
The Rita Ora cameo is in all three of those.
Is she in all three?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I know she's in two of them.
I have a thing for Rita Ora, but...
She's a very pretty woman.
Yeah, okay.
She's not the naked
one. That's not enough.
it's not enough for you to watch 50 Shades? Really? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Matt, what's your number five? What's your number four?
Number five, I've just added this.
Okay.
Because I try and perfect it in the shower all the time. It's Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction.
Nice. Okay.
I use that as my base.
So that's your monologue
point
to go in.
For okay. Walken. Fair enough. And then it goes so way off
in the shower. You do that speech.
Yeah, I try and get it.
I don't want
to. There are times like. I try it so often. There are times when I get it just right, and then I can never replicate it.
What takes the place of the watch?
Oh, I just use my imagination. Use your imagination. I'm in the shower. I'm walkenizing.
It's a good scene. It's a powerful monologue.
He died of dysentery.
Yeah,
Matt does a really good Christopher Walken. We were going to do a band once called Walken Heads.
Okay,
which is with Christopher Walken doing all the Talking Heads songs.
Watch out! You might get what you after.
Pretty good.
Smooth, baby. Not a stranger.
That's very good. What's your number four?
Bill Murray in Zombieland.
Oh, see, I wanted to keep that off my list because
it's too famous. It's too big.
Yeah, it is. I was going Bill Murray as well at one point on Little Shop of Horrors, though.
Oh yeah. Yes, he's the one that goes into the dentist.
Right? So much fun. Yeah. He just has a swagger of a man who doesn't care so much. He can do what he pleases.
Any regrets,
I'll
Garfield.
Just do this ridiculous role and I'll make it excellent. Sheer fun.
There's a rumor going around, and I don't even think it's a rumor. I think it's true. The fact that he's fired his agent, and there's like an email around that goes around that if you want him in a movie,
true. That's an entirely true thing. That's been for years though. He has an answer phone.
Yeah.
And yes, you have to ring the number. Which is hard to get, and then you leave a message, and he will ring you back if he wants to.
Yeah, if he enjoys the pitch,
that's how he's cast in. Well, that's how his cameo happened in the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
to my worst cameos.
Well, okay.
And that's how he got in all his films. That's how he gets cast.
That was a wasted cameo. I agree. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko. In the studio with me, we have Mark A. C. Brown and Matt Prendergast, who are here to promote Guardians, and we're talking our top five favorite film cameos. We've gone around. We've done five and four. I haven't done my five and four. My number five is Christopher Lloyd in Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, I've not seen that.
It's a Seth MacFarlane film. He plays Doc Brown.
Yes, I've seen that cameo. Actually, I've seen the clip of it. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't like the movie One Million Ways to Die in the West. I like it, but I'm prejudiced because I love anything Seth MacFarlane does. I'm a huge fan of Family Guy. I love that one that he did. Ted's great. I mean, two I'm skittish on, but I prefer one. But he's got this new show on FX at the moment called The Orville. Orville. Yeah. I love The Orville. I mean,
I haven't seen it yet. It's because I haven't got that channel.
it's a great show. If you can get yourself and watch that. Anyway, but this is 1 Million Ways to Die in the West, and it's a western. It's just Seth MacFarlane walking around with Charlize Theron, and he hears some noise in a stable. He opens up the door, and it's Doc Brown there with the DeLorean, and it's a brilliant cameo in my opinion. Yeah. I'll put that as number five. My number four, I cheated a little bit. Because a lot of cameos, when I was doing my research and trying to remember films, comes in form of parodies, in parody movies. So I started rattling a whole bunch of them, and I thought, no, I can't really name all of these ones. So I basically merged two parody movies. I put two of them together, and I said, okay, these are my favorite cameos. And first one is Hot Shots Part Deux. And it's Martin Sheen playing Captain Willard.
I loved you in Wall Street.
There you go. That's the line. So if you haven't seen the film, it's Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen, father and son. Both have been in the movie Wall Street. But the movie in Hot Shots, it's a war movie. And then you see Martin Sheen, who's in Apocalypse Now. You're talking about Heart to Darkness. And they're just crossing over and they just yell to each other.
But they're doing the monologues as well. Charlie Sheen's doing his platoon monologue. Yep. And Martin Sheen's doing his Apocalypse Now monologue, and they just overlap. It's absolutely genius.
Which is I had to put that on my list at some point. And then another one I had to put on the list as well, Loaded Weapon. It's Bruce Willis playing John McClane.
Oh yes,
and it's just a brilliant cameo. You're probably never going to see the film because it's an old film.
I love that film. I've seen that film.
It's great. It's obviously a spoof of Lethal Weapon, and it's just basically John McClane's RV getting blown up, and it's just excellent. You can see that.
Emilio Estevez.
Yes, Emilio Estevez.
Samuel L. Jackson.
That's it. Yes. So that's my number five and my number four. Christopher Lloyd and Martin Sheen, Bruce Willis. Right, so we'll go around and do number threes and number twos. So, Mark, let's start with you.
My number three is Kevin McCarthy in the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, okay. I can't remember that one.
Because basically what it is Kevin McCarthy is the star of the 1956.
Okay.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original one. And at the end of the film, the last thing you see is Kevin McCarthy running around going, "They're here, they're already here," you know, and just like panicking because all the pod people have arrived and no one knows except him.
Okay. Is that the one with Donald Sutherland?
That's the 1978 one.
Okay, fair enough.
So the 1956 one ends like that. And then whilst in the Donald Sutherland one, the 1978 one, Donald Sutherland's going along in a taxi, I think, and someone suddenly runs out into the street and slams on the back of the taxi or car, whatever it is, and goes, "They're here, they're already here." And it's Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, nice, okay.
And so it's kind of its continuation.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it's a really, really cool cameo.
Okay, that's your number three. What's your number two?
My number two is, what is my number two? Let me check my little list here. Oh, yes. It's a double whammy. It's a double Frank Oz whammy.
Okay.
Back to John Landis again.
Yeah.
It's Frank Oz and Miss Piggy in American Wealth in London.
Ooh. Okay.
Because Frank Oz is Miss Piggy, obviously.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
In the horrific dream sequence where the lead character, David, gets his family gets slaughtered by mutant Nazis, yes. On the TV screen is the Muppets, and it's Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
Got it. Okay.
And so that's Frank Oz playing Miss Piggy, and Frank Oz also plays the U.S. ambassador. Not ambassador. Is it ambassador? Anyway, well, he works for the U.S. embassy.
Okay.
And comes in and talks to David Norton in bed while he's in hospital, trying to get him to go home or whatever.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Good. So that's number three, number two. Matt, what about you?
Number three, Bowie, Zoolander.
Oh, yes.
Walk-off.
No, that's good. That's good.
It's just, he's an excellent actor.
Yep.
May
Not
I
many people
be of
peg
assistance?
Him as that. He's got a great sense of humor.
That's true.
And it's perfect for him. I love it.
To be honest, he just slid into that role. There's nobody else that could have done that, would have done it any better. I mean, they did the part two and had random people try and cameo, and it just did not work. I agree. Okay.
King of New York. Yeah.
What's your number two?
Number two. Now, I'm moving away from strict cameos here. I'm moving into actors with lines.
Okay.
Sometimes a bit actor.
Yeah.
It's a bit part.
Not even a line.
It's a clash.
A bit part. But they've made such an impact on me that they are in my top two. So the first is I don't even know his name, the hotel porter from Goldfinger. Just before Sean Connery breaks in to Jill Masterson's bedroom, discovers her dead. He breaks in by claiming that it's a surprise, which is a bit creepy. And the hotel porter just goes, "Oh, a surprise." And it's amazing. Because the hotel porter just completely believes James Bond. "Yeah, sure, I'll let you into this woman's room. There you go, there's a key," and he walks off. "A surprise."
So that's your number two.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Fair enough.
It's the best impact of such a small amount of words I can think of.
No, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut there. Okay, my number three is Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury, Iron Man. at the one that started, or basically that scene basically kicked off Marvel universe, where Nick Fury appears at the end of Iron Man the movie and in his house, and just says, let me talk to you about the Avengers Initiative, and it just spun off from there, and all of a sudden it's after credit sequence, and nobody can leave the cinema until after the lights go up and everything else. But that's my number three. It was still a punch. It was like, because nobody knew about it, and you saw it, and you see him pop up there. It's like, yay, Samuel Jackson!
It was a great start to the Avengers.
Exactly.
It was building anticipation for years.
Yep. So that's why it's my number three. My number two is Matt Damon. Matt Damon he just seems to pop up in different films as cameos. The one I put in mind as my number two is Thor Ragnarok. I won't spoil it. I'll just say Matt Damon is in there. If you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok, go and see it. Look out for Matt Damon. You can't miss him. He appears pretty much in the first 15 minutes of the movie. You'll enjoy it. Just before we go to our number ones, I just want to give a shout out to Atomic Drop. Atomic Drop has given their list. They said Bruce Campbell in the Spider-Man trilogy.
Yes, good call.
He basically just popped up every single one of them, actually. He's a different character.
Yeah, he's
as a different character.
French waiter.
Yeah. Jay and Silent Bob in Scream 3. There's a bit where...
That ruined the film, though. I mean, I love Jay and Silent Bob, but that part ruined
the film?
Well, not quite, but yeah, it was just... you've gone too meta now.
Well, that's what Scream 3 was all about.
I had a Jay and Silent Bob cameo on my list originally. I cut it out. But it was in Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back when James Vanderbeek and Jason Biggs
yes.
pretend to be Jay and Silent Bob. And
yeah, because they're doing the movie. And yes.
They're playing the movie versions of it. And I think that's just a brilliant, brilliant cameo because it was so of its time, for one.
Yeah.
And just the way they talk to each other. I can't say it on air, but like the dialogue's fantastic.
I like the Chris Rock cameo in there because he was the director of the movie that Mark Hamill was in. And it was pretty cool. In the list, he gives a shout out to David Bowie and Zoolander. And he says, John Cena in Daddy's Home. Now, just all cards on the table. Atomic Drop. It's a great show. They do music, but it's wrestling focused. So obviously, Atomic Drop talking about a wrestler. So John Cena. I haven't seen any of the Daddy's Home movies.
I saw it the other day. I'm not entirely sure I even noticed John Cena in it.
And I know he's in the second one because he's in all the publicity. But
apparently he's really good in this new film that's out soon. I can't remember what it's called now. It's like Breakers or something like that. It's
okay.
Where they're playing parents trying to be cool.
Oh yes.
Apparently he gets an enema.
Oh,
some sort of beer enema, I think, or something.
Fair enough. Okay.
Seems quite game.
Well, I've seen him in some stuff, and he's all right. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko. In the studio with me to promote Guardians, we've got Mark A.C. Brown, the director, and Matt Prendergast, the actor of Guardians. We're talking our top five favorite cameos. What is your number one, Mark?
My number one, it's a bit obscure to some people, but it's just something that's always stuck in my mind. It's not even that funny. It's not even a funny cameo, really. It's Tom Waits in The Fisher King.
Okay. Okay.
And when I saw it, I didn't even know who Tom Waits was, and I didn't even know that was Tom Waits.
Sure.
And Tom Waits is the king of cameos, I think, actually, though, because, I mean, in Mystery Men, he plays, like, the Avenger in Mystery Men with the blame thrower and all that kind of stuff, which is fantastic.
Tom Waits is more known he's a musician. He's a
genius musician.
You say genius. If you appreciate his music.
I love Tom Waits.
Very distinctive voice.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is what I noticed about him in this cameo. It's basically where Jeff Bridges is sat next to this homeless Vietnam vet with no legs, which is Tom Waits, whilst Robin Williams is waiting for his dream woman, Amanda Plummer, to walk past. And they just have this little offhand conversation, and Tom Waits just talks about where he sees his place in the world, which is, he's kind of happy being a legless, homeless man, essentially, because he sees his place as a warning for others to say, when they see me, they go, all right, I'm going to stop and reassess my life. And go. But just the way Tom Waits says it in his own very Tom Waitsy way, it's just amazing. And it's just always stuck with me as this wonderful, I thought, who is that guy?
Okay, so that's Tom Waits in The Fisher King.
Yeah.
Excellent. Matt, what's your number one?
Probably my favorite film of all time is Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's another little bit part, not necessarily somebody famous, but a line that's stuck with me forever.
Okay. Oh, I know
this. Will be with me forever. It's the security guard who discovers that Gibbons has been tied up and locked away, and that the Terminator and Sarah Connor have broken into Cyberdyne Systems.
Okay.
Where he walks in and he embodies the security guard working late at night, but we've all had that job. He embodies the, come on, where's the help here? Gibbons, come on, man. You can't leave the desk like that.
So that's stuck with you?
That's boom, that line.
All right.
We've all been there. We've all had that experience.
Because what we do with our top fives, we post it on Facebook. I'm going to find the actors that you've talked about, and we're going to post that on Facebook so we can say exactly who they are, give them a name check and say, yep, you've
been... I'm sure the security guard, I'm sure he's been in many other things. The hotel porter in Goldfinger, yeah. Less so.
He's probably dead. Yeah. Hotel porter in Goldfinger.
That's where it turns out that it's actually...
Really is a hotel porter.
Take what your other number one was going to be.
My other number one? What was it going to be?
Yeah, no, I think Patrick, what's his name?
Patrick what?
Patrick Wise.
Oh, yeah. Wise, Tony okay. Wise.
Tony Wise,
so
sorry.
Recently, Justice League came out.
Yes.
I was like, I know that guy. I've worked with that guy.
Which guy?
Tony Wise. He is, he's a stage actor. I did a play with him, but he's the policeman in With Nail and I.
Which
is super famous.
Yeah.
That's a bit part and a half.
So he's a cleaner in... Justice League.
Justice League, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Really strange.
Okay. We'll put that as well so that people can go and check that out. My number one is, I was searching for a number one and it kept crossing off this because I kept looping back around to this one in particular, but I kept saying, no, I'm going to push this off, is The Third Man, Orson Welles. I kept pushing it off the list because the publicity, I mean, Orson Welles, that was, he was like, what, in the 30s? The movie came out, I can't remember the exact year.
It was 50s.
Oh, was it 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry, 50, in the 50s, yeah. Why did I say 30s? And 59? It's such a great cameo. I mean, if it was, in the sense that if you were watching it now and they publicized it properly, you would pretty much not expect him to show up, but obviously because of who he is, they promoted the movie and his appearance actually appears in the trailer, which then ruins the fact that he's a cameo and whatnot.
Well, because he's played as the star now. Yes. But at the time, it was the ultimate cameo, and it still is.
I think it's great like that though, because you have the whole build up, the anticipation. Like, yep. When am I going to see? You know, you're going to see him,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that adds to the suspense of the film.
And the reveal is
the
just
reveal. Just the light on his face. It's just phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to put that on a cameo list purely because
that would
win
best supporting actor. Absolutely. Now that'd be like the shortest amount of screen time for best supporting actor.
No, that's true.
Oscar now, yeah. I think
that's true. Well,
Dench, they call that.
Dench, yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'd like to thank Mark AC Brown and Matt Prendergast for coming in and talking to us about their film Guardians. Guys, thank you very much for coming in. I know you're extremely busy. Give us all your stuff. We'll put that on our Twitter feed and Facebook feed so people can go and watch your movie, because I for one am saying the script alone in this movie is just fantastic, and the performance between yourself and Whitney is electric. It's good. Next week we have Winston Ellis coming into the studio with us, and Laura hopefully will be back with us as well. Until then, you have been listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM.